Sure, the topic is women, and then the month, you know, connection to the month, and tefillah, and connecting everything to tefillah, to prayer. So this month is Nisan. So obviously Nisan, the big thing of Nisan is it's the month of Geula, right? It's the month of redemption, and Bezchus Nashim Tzidkaniyos, the Geula always comes in the merit of women. And so we're going to try to understand what it is about Nisan that makes it a time which is particular for redemption, and what that has to do with tefillah, what that has to do with prayer, what the connection is. So I was kept debating if I should do it forwards or backwards, which order we should do it in. So we'll just go and see whatever comes out. Okay. So first of all, we know the pasuk that tells us all about the month of Nisan is at the end of Parshas Bo, which is a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim. This month is for you, the head of all months. So we see that Nisan is not just a month; it's the Rosh. It's the head of all months, and there's some aspect of Lachem. It's some aspect of that it's a month for us. So those are the unique aspects of the month of Nisan. Different Mefarshim talk about this idea of Tzaddik in specific, the idea that Nisan was a name that was given to, it was always called the first month, right? Because we counted all the months from Nisan. It got the name Nisan when the Jews were in Babel, and they gave all the names that were familiar with Adar and Nisan. Those names came later when they were in Babel. So, we didn't talk about Adar, but Adar is Aleph Dar. It's the month of Aleph. We spoke about that special resonance with our neshamas that comes about in Adar. Nisan is the month of Nisim. It's the month of miracles. It's a month which has in it a special connection, a special power for miracles to occur. There's a Gemara in Shabbos. Rashi quotes this Gemara at the beginning of Parshat Shmini that Nisan has 10 crowns. Rashi talks about the fact that on the eighth day the Mishkan is consecrated. No, there's a better word. It's dedicated on the eighth day, and Rashi says, and the eighth day of Nisan merits 10 crowns. So what are the 10 crowns of the month of Nisan? So once again, you see there's something special about Nisan. Unlike the other months, Nisan gets to wear 10 different crowns. So 10 crowns of Nisan. Ota yom natal eser atarot rishon lamaisa bereishi. First of all, Nisan is the first month of maisa bereishi, of creation. Oh. Yes.
Okay.
Huh? Well, we know that we talk about Tishrei as Hayom Harat Olam. There is a machloket in the Tanoim whether the world was created in the month of Tishrei or Nisan, or so it seems at least. Mm-hmm. The Balei Tosfot already there begin to talk about this idea that there's not actually a machloket. It's that the month of Tishrei was the month where the world came up in Hashem's thought, how the world was to be created. That's the time of Din. That's why Tishrei is a time of Din. And that when things actually came about, that was in the month of Nisan, which is a time of Chesed. That's why Nisan is a time of Chesed. But it's, you know, all this goes into different things, world of Bria and Yetzirah and all these things. So without getting into all of that, but that's why, right? Okay, so that's why Nisan, actually when it comes to the actual creation, what we know is creation, because the meat of Rachamim, Hashem's mercy as part of the creation, that starts in Nisan, right? That's sort of the 2.0 version of creation. Okay, so one of the crowns that Nisan gets is it's the first to creation. It's the first of the Nisim, right? Heads of the tribes, that's when they bring all the different special sacrifices for the Mishkan. It's the first of the kahuna, meaning that's when all the kohanim were inaugurated to be part of, to do the service for the Mishkan, was on the Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rishon Lavoda, that's the first time we started officially the services inside the Mishkan. Rishon Liyuridas Ha'esh, right? That's the first time the heavenly fire came down. Lechilas Kadshim, that the Kohanim ate Kadshim for the first time, special holy meat from the Korbanos, from the offerings. Rishon Lishon Shechina, that Hashem's Shechina comes down. Levarches Yisrael, that the Kohanim blessed the Jewish people. Isra Bamos, that's when it became forbidden to offer your own private offerings on altars. And Rishon Lechadashim, and it's the first of months, back to our Pasuk, Chodesh Hazeh Lechem, that it became the first of the months. Okay, so Nisan gets these 10 crowns. And we notice there's a pattern that these crowns seem to be connected with all these firsts. The idea of first seems to be connected with this idea of Keter, of getting a crown, or Atara is the word they use over here, right? Which is also, we talk about a Rosh. It's a Rosh Chodesh, and this is Rosh Chodesh, and this is the head of all the months. So there's this concept of Rosh. And a lot of the different Sifrei Machshava talk about this idea that we specifically don't talk about a Tchilah. For example, Rosh Hashanah, we don't call it Tchilat Hashanah, the beginning of the year. We call it Rosh Hashanah, it's the Rosh for the year. That there's something in that time itself, which is like a blueprint, sort of has the DNA for everything that's going to happen over the course of the year happens there. That's the idea of Rosh. Rosh is where the blueprint is, and then you have the goof, which takes the blueprint and brings it out into action. So Nisan seems to have these 10, and obviously 10 is always going to parallel the 10 spheres, right, of how spiritual energy flows into the world. And these 10 crowns are going to parallel that. Okay, so that's all in the month of Nisan. The jewel of all the 10 months. So we see that Nisan is the month where the Jewish people go out of Mitzrayim. And when we go out of Mitzrayim, it's not just a leaving, it's also the time where the Jewish nation is born. And the month of Nisan represents this concept, he's talking about all these beginnings, but the concept of something starting new is that concept of Leda, of taking something from that potential, which is sitting in potential, and bringing it out to action. That's like the idea of birth. So for example, we talk about Rosh Hashanah is Horat Olam, that's the time when the world was pregnant with potential. And Nisan is the time where things start to come. Actually, it's the springtime, right? It's Aviv, it's Av Yod Bet, it's the beginning of everything coming, starting to spring out into potential. That all comes about in Nisan. It's the time of beginnings. It's a time of birth. So that's why it's a time for the beginning of the Jewish people as well. And all these crowns, all these beginnings, because when something's new, right, that's where it creates sort of the blueprint for everything that's going to follow. And this obviously is going to connect a dovetail from last month, where we spoke about the excitement, the ratzon, the desire that we have in Adar, is because Adar is the end of something. We just saw the end of a year cycle. So we start to get excited as we see things getting completed. Nisan has a very different excitement. It's the excitement of beginning. It's the excitement of potential, of new beginnings. All that comes in the month of Nisan, because now it's the start of everything, the start of all the months. And it's a very different type of beginning, because we see that all these miracles, when you start something, you don't have any schus, you don't have any right to a beginning. You haven't had a chance to earn it yet. So beginnings always come about through chesed, it's always a gift from Hashem. Right? When we go out of Mitzrayim, that's a chesed that Hashem does for us. It's not something we had a chance, an opportunity yet to earn that merit, unlike later in the year when we get to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, or when we get to Adar, where now Adar, we're acting, we're doing, we're moving, we're creating the merit to start the Geula, whereas in Nisan, everything comes from Hashem, it's all Chesed. So there is a latent koach, there's a latent power in the month of Nisan for new beginnings, for starting things anew, for getting things as a Chesed from Hashem. On Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, there's a lot of things that we have to earn, right? We have to work on doing tshuva and making changes and showing that we deserve certain things, whereas Pesach has a certain potential of making leaps in spiritual growth without having to do that. So Rashi talks about this idea of Pesach. Where does the word, where does that name Pesach come from? So Rashi learned that the word Pesach means kvitza, kvitza v'dilug, jumping and leap, jumping and skipping. So Rashi talks about this during Makas Bechoros, the plague of the firstborn, that Hashem was kofetz mimitri lemitri. He would jump from the house of each Egyptian to the next Egyptian, and he was medalag. He would skip over the Bate Yisrael nimlat b'taim. The Jewish people were left in between. So Rashi seems to indicate that the avoda, the work, the service, what we focus on this month, is this idea of kfitza, that a person has an opportunity to make large jumps in the spirituality, because this is a time where everything's being given as a gift from Hashem. It's not about what you've come to the table with, it's the amount of desire that you have that Hashem, I want to jump, I want to leap. And when you have that desire, Hashem says, let's go. That's what this month is all about. You want to jump, you'll jump. And we see that that's how we leave Mitzrayim. We jump out of there, we're on a level that's higher than we belong on, and then we have to work to try to get back to it, right? Through our own efforts, the Sfiris Omer, up to Kabbalah Satorah, till we receive the Torah, right? It's this idea that in Kabbalah, it's called Mochen de Gadlus and Mochen de Katnus. That's having a big brain and having a little brain. That in Pesach, you get to have a big brain because you can plug right into the motherboard. And then the rest, once you get the boom, the sort of spiritual growth that you're working toward, now through Mochen de Katnus, you go back through your own kalim, through your own tools, to try to reach back to that level that Hashem can gift you during this month of Nisan. Okay, so now the meat of what I sort of wanted to get to. There is a Gemara in Brachos, which is what it is. Amar le Rabbi Ila le'ula. Rabbi Ila said to Ula. Now Ula, one of the great Amoraim, started in Eretz Yisrael, and he actually went over to Bavel. So Rabbi Eloah said to Ula, Ki ha'elte lahasam, when you get there, shel bishloma de Rav Bruna. Go around and ask for how Rav Bruna's doing. You know, you want to meet him. Achi, he's my brother. B'ma'ad v'ad kol ha'chabura, make sure to do it in public. He deserves to have all sorts of kavod. Why? The Adam Gadol do. Adam Gadol, who he's a great man. Rav Bruna's a great man. Now, what's so great about Rav Bruna? What did he do? Sameach b'mitzvos. He's very happy when he does mitzvos. He loves mitzvos. They make him very happy. And he gives an example. Zimnachada, one time, samach ge'ula l'tfila. He connected ge'ula to tfila. Right? So we're referring to, there's a special mitzvah, meaning like a hitter mitzvah that we have, to daven the brachos of Shema and say all the psukim all the way through to Shemona Esra and not interrupt them. Because you don't necessarily have to be somach gula tefillah. A person could daven Shema separate from Shemona Esra, or sometimes a person could daven Shemona Esra, daven Kriya Shema afterwards. The way our tefillah is built, the way we set it up, and the way pretty much everybody davens it for the most part, is that we connect Gula L'Tfila. So one time he connected Gula L'Tfila, right? Either because of the bracha of Gaal Yisrael, some say it's from Pesukim which are earlier. Velo pasik chucha mipume kol yoma. The rest of the day he couldn't stop smiling. He had this permanent grin plastered on his face the rest of the day. You want to know what a big person looks like? Chashev Rav, my brother, he'd go around, ask for his kavod. One time he connected Gula L'Tfila, he couldn't stop smiling the whole day. The obvious question is, like, we all connect Gula L'Tfila. Like, what was so great about that? He's talking about one, Zim Nechada, one time it happened. Right? This wasn't like a daily occurrence. Every day he did it and it made him so happy. One time he was zochet to connect Gula L'Tfila, he couldn't stop smiling. So obviously the big question is, well, so what? I'm saying, what's the big deal? We all connect Gula L'Tfila. So some of the Rishonim take a very technical approach. Tosfos there gets very technical, that it's very hard to actually do it properly. Tosfos learns that it has to be done at Vesikin specifically, right, with nates. And it's very hard to time it. The nates should come out exactly at the right time for Gula and Tefillah to come together, and then not everybody experiences nates at the exact same moment, and somehow he managed to time it. That's a whole approach from Tosfos, that it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and that's what made him so happy. Now, there are other approaches to this. What it was that made him so happy, the question was, is he happy in mitzvahs, and he worked so hard to try to get it? Or because he accomplished his feat, he felt so great, he couldn't stop smiling. Right, he's a person who's so connected to mitzvahs, he just couldn't stop grinning. If that's the case, why is this the one mitzvah that we talk about that makes him so happy he can't stop smiling? It wasn't shaking his lulav. It wasn't, you know, giving over a great chabura. It wasn't whatever, what, you know, it wasn't, he spent the entire sukkah in a sukkah. One time he connected Gula Tefillah, he couldn't stop smiling. So now, taking a different approach, is the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos, where this, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you the source, the source of the Gemara is Brachos on Tes Amud Beis, page 9, folio B, that over in Brachos, the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah are the super commentary that goes along with the Rif. So these were obviously students of Rabbeinu Yonah. How do we know? Because they say 100 times over, our teacher Rabbeinu Yonah said this, 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 and this. And his teacher, the Ramban, said that, or his relative, and our teacher, the Ramban. So, I want to start from the second one. So, the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah give two approaches to how to understand this idea of connecting Gula L'Tfila, why it's a big deal. Right? And it starts really from a Maamar of Rabbi Yochanan, Ezehu ben Olam Haba. Who is a person who merits the world to come? Someone who connects Geula and Tefillah together. So the question is, again, what is it so great about Geula and Tefillah that if you do that, you merit a share in the world to come? So the second approach of the Talmidim, the students of Rabbeinu Yonah, is when a person talks about the Geula of Mitzrayim, right? That's what we're going to be thinking about and working on and focusing on this month and dealing with during the Seder. When we left Mitzrayim, Mitpal Miyad, he davens right away. What does he show? He shows that he has bitachon in Hashem. Because he's turning to Hashem, he's saying, look, I need all this stuff. I need these things from you. I don't have any other way to get things other than through you. You're my only channel to receive the things that I need. If a person doesn't have bitachon in Hashem, he's not going to daven. So what do we see? When the Jewish people saw all the miracles in Mitzrayim, things that were far beyond the nature of the world, but chubo, that's when they started to build real bitachon in Hashem. So they quote the Gemara in Bava Kama, V'yari Yisrael Siyad HaGadol, Asher Asa Hashem B'Mitzrayim, V'ram Es Hashem, V'aminu Bo, when they saw, right, that's the pasuk that tells us, when they saw Hashem's great hand, That's when the emuna started to develop. The kevan shemaskir achshav oto agulav, right? Now in Krishma, we're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's everything that we're talking about. This aspect of Geula that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. So we're understanding that it's a strengthening. If we think about, right, like the Ramban speaks about at the end of Parshas Bo, that the everything that happened in Mitzrayim wasn't meant to be, gosh, I'm trying to remember who this story is about. It's either about the Beis Halevi. I think it's about the, no, it's not about the Beis Halevi. I think it's about Reb Chaim Mivolozhin. There's a story about Reb Chaim Mivolozhin. He went to an inn, right? He was going from town to town, and as they often had to stop at inns along the way. And it happened to be that the innkeeper was one of his former students who had gone off the derech and, you know, went away from Torah mitzvahs. And they had conversation, and Reb Chaim was trying to understand, how is it possible? What happened to you? How did you go off the derech? Well, I'm sure he didn't use those words. And the innkeeper said, you know, there's just one thing that always bothered me. Everything that we have is built around all these miracles, everything that happened. They left Mitzrayim, Hashem did all these nisim. Where are nisim today? Right? Where are our miracles? How come we don't get anything? Right? If Hashem really exists, why is he not doing miracles for us every day? That was the question. So Chaim said, okay, you know, you can tell when a person asks a certain question, there's not really an answer you can give. So at some point while Reb Chaim was staying at the inn, this man's daughter was going to be visiting. And it was a very big deal for this innkeeper. He was very proud of her because she had trained under some famous dance teacher, and now she was a world-class ballerina. So Reb Chaim heard the innkeeper bragging all about her, and he said, I don't believe you. That's what you mean, don't believe me, I'm saying. Why would I make it up? He says, I don't know, people do things, kavod, whatever it is. When she comes, if you want me to believe you, I need to see her dance. And the man got furious. That's so rude. You know, she has her certificates. You don't need to watch her dance, you know. You think she just dances for everybody whenever somebody wants? She's a world-class ballerina. You think she just, you know, dance just for you? Reb Chaim said, you think that the Ribono Shel Olam should be dancing just for you, right? Private concert, whenever you feel like it. He said, Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we left Egypt, that was his certificate. That was his te'udah. And so the Ramban says that those big miracles had to happen in order for what? For us to understand that every small miracle, every little thing that happens day in and day out, we're supposed to remember that it's Hashem behind all those things. So leaving Mitzrayim, that was the foundation for our Muna in understanding that it's not just turning water into blood and, you know, hail balls with fire inside of them, and right? It's not just that. It's all the small things in day-to-day life, all the little miracles we're always experiencing, that all that is coming from Hashem. So the students of Rabbeinu Yonah, the second answer they give, the reason why we connect Geula L'Tefila, why that's so important, is that this whole concept of Geula, of leaving Mitzrayim, it creates the foundation and builds us up for bitachon, for emuna, that when we go forward and we daven, now we have all that connection, we've built up that belief system, we're so connected to everything that Hashem does to us, and now we can ask for the little, small, day-to-day things, we realize we're connecting that everything's coming from Hashem. If Hashem did all that, He controls all of nature, certainly He can do this thing for me. It's not beyond His limits to grant me this thing or that thing. Okay, good. So there is a nice also, the Ber Moshe adds this idea in a few different places in the Chumash, where he talks about that is the understanding that there's a bigger geula, right, the geula that happens for the nation, And to realize that each person has their own private geula that they're always working towards, they're always striving for, which we'll talk about that in a second. Okay. So, Rav Tzadok in Pri Tzadik on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in the second chapter, he talks about this idea, Zeh Esek HaChodesh HaZeh, the work that we're all supposed to be involving ourselves in during the month of Nisan, Ha'amuna B'Shleimus. We're supposed to be working on making our Amuna more internalized, more thorough, connected, right? That is the work of the month of Nisan. And from there, Makabun Omachuso, from there we move forward to realizing that everything comes from Hashem. Lahakir Shakom Hashem Yisporach V'lechet Achrei Hashem. Right? The work of Nisan, everything we're doing during this month, is building, developing our Emuna, and then that way we can take that Emuna and we can connect it to Tefillah, we can make those requests, right? Those by understanding that everything is coming from Hashem. That's the second pshat, which we're doing first, of the students of Rabbeinu Yonah. A person merits to the world to come when what? When he realizes that everything comes from Hashem, even all the small things. And that's typified by the person who's somach geula l'tefillah, who connects geula and tefillah, because he realizes that all these big miracles that Hashem does for all the Jewish people is just to help me understand all the small miracles he's doing for me in my daily life. And then obviously that flows over not just into a person's tefillah, but into everything a person does in the avodas Hashem. Right? When you realize everything's from Hashem, then we're much more driven in our avodas Hashem and everything that we do. Okay, now, I want to go back to the first approach of the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, which is going to, I think, really open up the floodlights on the whole concept over here of what this month, the vote of this month, and how to connect the two is all about. So this one's a little bit headier, but quite remarkable. When Hashem took us out of Egypt, it wasn't just that Hashem took us out because, you know, it was like a bad situation, you wanted us out, and okay, you guys are out, you know, you're free, like, go to the wild and do whatever you need to do. The reason Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim was Liotu La'avadim, we're supposed to become avadim to Hashem. As the verse says, Ki avdi hem asher otzeisusam eretz Mitzrayim. They're my avadim now. Why? They're my servants. I took them out of Mitzrayim, meaning I took them out of Mitzrayim to become servants to me. So we'll take a sidestep for a second. It's a very interesting thing that became very clear to me this month, looking through at some of the ideas in the Maharal in Pirush Hashem, that the idea of Geula, we all think about what was the Geula? We left Mitzrayim, and then, you know, we received Torah, we came there to stroll. It's like that's the Geula. But the truth is that the concept of Geula actually stops at the moment when Hashem takes us out of Eretz Yisrael, out of Mitzrayim. That was the Geula. We were in a shivud, we were enslaved, we were confined, we were restricted by Mitzrayim, and Hashem wanted to get us out of that. So the Geula is leaving Mitzrayim. And then that's it. Meaning to be away and free from Mitzrayim is the concept of Geula. To lose all of that shiabud, all those ties, all those connections. But now what? Because Geula brought us to a neutral place. Now that we're in that neutral position, where are we going? What are we doing? So the next step is that we go from neutral to with Hashem. Meaning the first thing is that I have all these preconceived notions and understandings of the world, and I'm tied down by all these false gods, and these I'm overworked and I'm stressed by all these things. So when Hashem comes to give us Geula, he takes us out of all of that. Now you're out. You left Mitzrayim. you're away from all of those constrictions. But now you have to decide what you're doing with yourself. I brought you to neutral. I allowed you to come to a place where you can make a choice. Now what choice are you going to make? So the step two of Geula is Hashem can only take us out. He can't make us go with him. That's us. That's our choice. Meaning he could, but that wasn't the point. The point was for us to make a choice to be a vadim to Hashem. So that's the idea. When we talk about Gaal Yisrael, we talk about all the chesed that Hashem did. He took us out. And then we have to take that freedom and turn it into avdus, our connection, our servitude to Hashem, and that's through tefillah. Right? Now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have korbanos, the main avoda that we do, the avoda shebalev, the real avoda, because Hashem's always looking for the connection, he always wants the relationship, he always wants to connect to our hearts, that the main way we do that is through tefillah. So the idea is that we leave Mitzrayim and we want to become avadim to Hashem. We talk about the Geula, we talk about Gaal Yisrael. Right here the Rabbeinu Yonah talks about the idea in Gaal Yisrael. Hashem was Goel us. He took us out of all these restrictions. He brought us to a place of freedom. Now we have to make the choice to be avadim to Hashem. How do we do that? We right away take that chesed and we move it into the world of tefillah. We go into tefillah from there. So what do we see? That just like how a master acquires a servant, he has to do some sort of commandment from the master, right? That's a concept in acquisitions, right? To show that he's his servant, he commands him to do something, he does it, and that's how he acquires the servant. So too, we have to show some sort of action that we're subjugating ourselves to Hashem. And that's what completes that transaction or that transition, as it were. Okay. So, I think we're doing good. So what do we see from that? I don't know how we're doing. Okay. So that's the sort of the heart, the meat of everything we want to get to, is this idea of how we can take the energy of this month and move it into our tefillah and into our avodas Hashem. So, if anybody, I don't know how many people know, there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch, Tzadiches, which is all about, interestingly enough, Tzach, right? It's all about Tzachus, it's all about this purity of our shiny sparkliness that we have when we go daven Shmona Esrei. And when you read it, it's almost overwhelmingly impossible when you see what it looks like, what a person davening is really supposed to look like. Right? We know we make it through, we mumble a few words, and you know, we feel good about ourselves that we made it on time and that we did it, you know. Women, that's a choice and it's a work and a vota, how much and when, how much time, and even being there and feeling present and you did it, it is an accomplishment. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch says, a person has to have kavan in his tefillah. He has to know what he's saying. He can't just, right, come up and say nothing, even though last month we said he sort of could. A person davening has to be miskaveh believo, he has to have full intention, focus in his heart. Pure shemilos, he has to know what he's saying. Shemosi bisfasav, whatever words are coming out of his mouth, he has to understand what he's saying. Now he has to yachshov kiilu shchina kenegdo. He has to imagine whatever that means, that he's opposite the shchina. Obviously we don't give the shchina any physical form, but he has to feel like he's in the presence of, right, Hashem's presence, the divine presence. V'yaser kol machshavos hatrudos oso. He has to leave behind any thoughts which are distracting him, which burden him. Ad shetishar machshavot hakavanos zacha, v'tfilaso, till All his thoughts are pure, focused entirely on his prayer. And he has to see himself as though he's speaking before a king of flesh and blood, right? How he would organize his words so everything comes out clear and exact. That he would never stumble, right? If you came to the Supreme Court, right? You wouldn't bumble your way through some sort of, stuck together speech. So Kal Vachomer, how much more so when you stand in front of Hashem, that you have to be very clear and focused and intent on everything you say. Okay, because Hashem is Chokr Kol Machshavot, he knows all person's thoughts. Now, Kach Hayu Osim Chasidim Va'anshe Maiseh. This is what the pious people, the men of great deeds, used to do. Shayim Mitbodidim Mechavne B'Tfilasam. They used to set themselves aside and have tremendous focus in their tefillah. Ashi Magim Lehit Pashtus Hagashmes. So they came to the point where they literally were free of all physical constraints. The physical world meant nothing to them. They just took it off like a pair of pajamas. Right? That's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. They were mispashet migashmis. They just transcended. They just went straight up. The power of the intellect overpowered the physical world till they would come to a level close to nevuah. And he shouldn't have any other thoughts during his tefillah, right? Till all his thoughts are silent in tefillah. And when you hear that, when you read that, sounds nice, right? It sounds amazing, but like, it just sounds so hard, far-fetched, nearly impossible, because we all get so bogged down and overwhelmed and all these thoughts and all these things, and I only have 10 minutes, and things in the oven, and paying the bill, and gotta talk to the neighbor, and whatever, all this stuff that's weighing down, right? Oh, I just had a fight with my parents, whatever it is, weighing down on every person as they step into tefillah. So this idea of geula is actually a pretty remarkable one that we need to move from the world of the Jewish people, and we have to make it a personal process and journey that we are taking. And so here I found that if you connect this idea from the Maharal, it actually becomes pretty remarkable. Now, the Maharal's whole approach to Geula is pretty mind-bending, because he said it several hundred years before Einstein started talking about the theory of relativity, and yet there's so much about space-time and the relationship between the two of them, and even concepts like the speed of reaction time, how things work, which, the Maharal was already 200 years ahead of Newton, but really he was 400 years ahead of him, because he was talking like Einstein when Newton wasn't yet there. So the Maharal talks about this idea of Geula, and he says like this. You want to understand what Geula is? Geula is a complete histalkut, a complete separation from anything outside of you, la'amod ba'atzmo. So we're shifting our concept of Geula here, right? So Geula is not the way we thought about it, that Hashem is taking me to the Holy Land. No, that's I have to work to get to the Holy Land. Geula is Hashem is taking me out, which sounds like, well, wait, so what's the big deal? But that's actually the biggest deal that there is, that Hashem can get me out of something called Mitzrayim. For a person, la'amod ba'atzmo, he stands solely by himself. Lo yelhem tzir v'chibor el zulatu. You have no connection, no association with anything outside of you. Okay, so it's very hard for us to picture this, because we live in a world which is filled with things which restrict us and hold us down and we're connected to, like time and gravity, right? And all sorts of things like that, and energy and resources, right? But the concept of geula is literally that you leave all that behind. That Hashem says, you're not bound by any of those things. You're not bound by time, you're not bound by space, you're not bound by the force of gravity, because I wrote the rules to nature and I can bend them and change them however I need to. right? This is the month of Nisim. This is a time of miracles. This is Yetzias Mitzrayim. If I'm going to get you out of Mitzrayim, all that stuff doesn't exist. Geula means that you get to stand as your neshama, which has no connection to the physical world whatsoever. It stands alone. Now, obviously, when Hashem takes us out of Mitzrayim, we don't become neshamas, but it's as close as the physical world allows us, which is why geula happens b'chipazim, why it happens instantaneously. It's in the blink, because you have to realize that the spiritual world is not bound by reaction times. The spiritual world is faster than the speed of light. So, meaning, there is no time between point A and point B, and there's no space between them. Time-space doesn't exist anymore. So everything we do on Pesach is a metaphor for that concept, that we're leaving all the shiabudim behind. Anything that holds us down, that we feel restricted by, that stays behind. And so the concept of Mitzrayim, for example, the word Mitzrayim comes from the word Meitzarim, right? The word that the Torah gives, the Lashon HaKodesh, the word in Lashon HaKodesh for Mitzrayim, that concept is Meitzarim. It's a place that binds you. It's a place that constricts you. It's constant shibud. It's coming to a point where you don't have the opportunity to focus on yourself and your spiritual growth. That's the whole concept of Avdus Mitzrayim. So Paro, very interestingly enough, Paro, oftentimes people explain the concept of Paro from the root parua, that everything in Mitzrayim has to be physical. You have to be able to hold it and touch it and feel it. That's why the gods have to be able, you know, they're the sheep and the rivers and the Paro and everything you can see. And people can't even be buried below the ground. Even death has to happen above the ground. They have to have, right, these pyramids and go inside these sarcophaguses. Everything has to be seen and held and touched. That's the concept of in Mitzrayim, right? It's the physical world that rules everything. There's all the Mitzrayim that constrict us, that bind us. Now, the Ramchal says a different pshat, an amazing pshat, in the word Paro, he learns it from the Lashon Lahafriya. But that's everything that Paro wants to do. He doesn't want to give you a chance to stop and think and ask yourself, okay, why am I here? What am I trying to accomplish? What's the point? Why am I doing everything? So Paro is the Mafriya. So that Mafriya, and obviously we always talk about how we're always trying to leave Mitzrayim. We're always trying to leave our Mitzrayim. There's always that Mafriya that's going to give us a great reason why, no, you can't focus right now. You have to think about this thing, and you have to worry about that thing, and you have to be stressed about this person. That's the Paro. He's the always Mafriya. He's always in your thoughts and in your heart. And so Geula is leaving Paro behind. Hashem says, you don't need to worry about Paro. Why not? Because I'm Hashem, and I control the world. And I can choose whether or not this thing is relevant or irrelevant, right? So now we're starting to see more and more how this concept of Geula and Tefillah, the idea of the Emunah, or the idea of leaving our Mitzrayim and going into the Shibud of Hashem, how all these ideas connect. Hashem tells us on Pesach, when he thinks about Mitzrayim, he says, everything you thought was binding you and constraining you, I'm going to wipe it all away. You don't need it. You're with me now. You don't need them for food. You don't need them for shelter. I'm providing you food. I provide you shelter. Right? That's the cornerstones for our Emunah. That's what allows us to become avadim to Hashem. Because when you become an Eved to Hashem, all you focus on what you're supposed to be doing with your life. Because you don't have to worry about the Parnassah. You don't have to worry about, right, what's going to be with my health. You don't have to worry about what's going to be with this relationship with this person. You do the Hishtadlus, but the worry, the Mafriya, the Mitzarim, you don't need those. Because Hashem says, I'm taking you out. I'm giving you a geula. And all you have to do is you have to choose to trust me. Choose that I'm going to take care of these things. So says the Maharal, why is geula in the first month? Why is this connected to Nisan? What's that have to do with the first month? Ki hadavar shenitiyav mityaches al hazman shenaseh ba'ota havaya. Right? Any time something comes into existence, it falls into the time-space continuum by necessity. Lefikach hazman shu rishon ein bo chibur v'tziruf zman miyuchad l'geula. If you're the second month, if you're ER, then you're month number two. Why are you month number two? Because you're in relation to the first month. So when Nisan shows up on the scene, right, it's not yet the first month, it's the only month. Right? When a person has a son, you don't say, this is my first son, because if you don't have any other children yet, he's just your son. When kid number two shows up, then he becomes your first son. But when Nisan comes, right, Nisan's the first month, meaning it's the month. That's it. At that point, when Nisan comes, it's only Nisan. Nisan's the only month in existence right now. Why? Because when Geula comes, there's no connection, there's no restriction, there's no being bound by concepts of time. So that's why Nisan is the first month. That's why Nisan gets all the crowns, right? Because when you're first, you have the ability to do things which are way above and beyond the natural course of things. So that's why this month of Nisan is a special month, special for the Geula, this ability for us to work on our Emuna, as Rav Tzadik mentions in Pritzadik, to remind ourselves that Hashem did all these things for us. What was these things? What was the point? What was the nature of all the miracles of Mitzrayim? To show us that the physical world does not have to be here to weigh us down and to bog us down. If we're able to realize that Hashem runs that same world, we can leave all that behind, put it in Hashem's hands, and that's, you know, that's the idea of connecting Geula to Tefillah. So why was Rav Bruna so happy? Wasn't because he accidentally, you know, did this one thing that we do every single day, connecting Geula, Tefillah, and our davening. And by the way, just to be clear, right, if a person does not have the opportunity to say Shema with the brachos all the way through and connect Gal Yisrael to Shemona Esrei, but you can still take this concept of Geula, of understanding, right, this idea of Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim, as a person steps into Shemona Esrei, that just like Hashem did all those huge miracles for all of Am Yisrael, He does all these small things for me day in, day out. The main thing He did for me, for us, and for me as an individual, is He said, you don't have to worry about the phone call, you don't have to worry about the bill, you don't have to worry about the plumber coming, you don't have to worry about any of those things, because I'm going to take care of it. And a person does that, they could step into Shemona Esrei with the appropriate Kavana of standing before Hashem, that Hispashtus that the Shulchan Aruch spoke about, just stripping away, peeling away all those worries and all those stresses, letting them all go, because not because I'm transcending the world, right, some sort of a Buddhist different take. No, because Hashem said, that's on me. Right? That's on me. Don't worry about it. If you are connected to me, I'm going to help you with those things. I'm taking care of those things. You just need to rely on me. Okay, so that's why Nisan has that special koach of first. That's why it's the Rosh HaChadashim, to show us that even time, right, does not have to constrict us when we're in a relationship, when we connect everything back to Hashem. So the work of the month, to work on our Emunah, to internalize this concept of Geula, that the Geula is Hashem's giving us permission to let go of all those stresses and things that bind us and restrict us and hold us down and don't allow us to focus on our Avodas Hashem. And then you can take tremendous leaps forward, kvitz and dilug, in our Avodas Hashem. When we turn to Hashem, we request, look, I'm letting all this go, I'm putting it in your hands, and I want to go the next step, I want to make the next leap and jump. That's the month of Nisan is a special, unique time for doing that. Okay? Are there any questions?
Yeah. If you can't say the brachos of Shema and daven all the way through, where are you supposed to stop?
What do you mean?
I thought if you say the brachos of Shema, you have to daven all the way through to the end of Shemoneh Esrei. Otherwise, you can't tell.
Oh, in sha
Until
in
next
chakras, in
day.
chakras. So it's interesting. Chakras and marav are a bit different.
Okay.
I don't know how many women daven marav. Probably not that many. Even for men, marav has some things that make some leniencies that the other tefillahs don't. If a person comes in and everyone's in Shemoneh Esrei, you daven Shemoneh Esrei with them, you can daven the brachos of Kriya Shema afterwards,
so it's
and you just
right.
stop at Hashkiveinu. At the end of Hashkiveinu, you just finish. Chakras is a bit more bound, a bit more connected. But again, if a person doesn't have time to daven all the brachos all the way through, you can always have the idea is, when you read the Shulchan Aruch, I think the problem is that so many people approach it from like almost like a Buddhist like approach, like I'm just gonna transcend the physical world, like I'm just gonna leave it behind and go up into Shemoneh Esrei. That's not the point at all. As a matter of fact, Rav Volbe says it very beautifully. He says all those the mistake that people make is all those thoughts, all those tirdas, those preoccupations that you have, people try to leave them behind. He said that's not the way to do it. He says bring them with you into Shemoneh Esrei, but by making them part of your tefillah, not the things that distract you from the tefillah. That same thing is keeping you from focusing, take it into Shemoneh Esrei and say, don't worry, we're going to bring this in front of Hashem, right? This is not the time to distract us from Hashem. This is the time to bring it into the communique, right? To have this conversation that, boy, Hashem, I keep worrying about, these bills. I need help with parnasa, right? And make it part of the tefillah. That's really the idea. This of that if you can keep that idea, the chiddush of that geula is part of my everyday life, and bring that into Shemoneh Esrei. That's really the goal. And Chazal structured it to help us to do that. Set it to words and, right?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Think about how to formulate the question. So other times in the year, if you're following a cycle in a year, other times in the year, it seems like it would be easier to get rid of the gashmiut and like you're talking about, and be more spiritually aware and make that leap. Like on Shavuot. Like we're cooking for all of the meals, for every Yom Tov. But some of them are narrower. Like all you're doing is cooking. You're not buying everything new in your house and changing everything. It's like the focus is so physical. It's just an interesting, it's an interest, it's more difficult to do that during Nisan. Maybe once it's already Pesach,
Yeah.
then you can start thinking that. But it seems so difficult to do what you're
Leading
saying
up
during Nisan, when what we are doing is so physical.
Well, even in Egypt, before they had the geula, they were busy prepping for it.
They were what?
They were busy preparing for it.
Isn't it also the whole point that when we're removing the chametz from our house, right? So it's not just like the physical chametz, it's also, the chametz from
Right.
our
Right.
Right.
soul.
Right. So you're supposed to try and
There's the right, there's the famous idea in the Shloah that as you're cleaning your house and your house has spiritual parallels to your physical body, right? That you're like trying to remove the Yetzer Hara, everything you have, the Mafreyim. I mean, part of the idea is that we're trying to remove the Mafreyim. It's a longer conversation, though, I think about, I don't know, because we weren't around 200 years ago to watch how people prepared for Pesach. At some point, the students of Rav Scheinberg put together this like Pesach packet from like Torah Or.
I think I've read that, right? Yes.
And one of the main points that they make is that if a person comes into Pesach like exhausted, overwhelmed, and stressed out, then you're not going to be able to experience the Seder appropriately. And I mean, you're not being mekayem the mitzvah of owning yontiv, right? So I think Pesach is definitely a time where people have to, Rav Volbe has this great essay that he wrote called Frumkeit, I mean, so they put it, it's in the second Chelek of Ali Shor, but they also printed it, I think, in the Jewish press at some point.
Translated.
Huh?
Translated.
They translated it into English, oh, yeah. That we have to be very careful from something called frumkeit. Now, Rav Volbl said that in a derogatory way, that word, frumkeit. He didn't like that word. That there's something, just a broad spectrum of things that we do called midas chasidus. They're above and beyond the letter of the law, right? There's being righteous, and then there's midas chasidus. And people want to do midas chasidus because it's like extra credit. Like, you get closer to Hashem, you get to do extra things, and that's nice. The problem is that you're only allowed to take that extra step if you feel like you're actually moving closer to Hashem. Like, if doing that made you feel like, oh, I'm so happy I get to do, this makes me so happy that I get to do this. The second it becomes a burden, then it's called the frumkeit. Like, you're doing it because you want to be frum, but it's not helping your avodas Hashem. So I think that we have to be very careful during Pesach that people, there are a lot of things in Pesach which are chumras. Like, that's, you know, that's sort of the, that's like the introduction to every like halacha book on Pesach. It's like, it's a lot of chumras. You're not allowed to make fun of anybody's chumras except for these three chumras. You can make fun of those ones, but the other ones don't make fun of them.
Your mother always did. Or
yeah.
Your grandmother always did.
Right, like all those things. I mean, you know, and it's in general just a thought we have to think about. You know, the kidneys. People almost died because.
Yeah.
Not eating kidneys, and it was at that point that a lot of the Rishonim said, look, you know, because some communities didn't eat potatoes, right? Because there's two concepts behind kidneys, the two big ones, the Rashid and the Smak, talks about anything that could be ground into a flour, right? So potatoes can be ground into potato flour. People almost died, and they were like, okay, we have to eat potatoes. like it doesn't matter, everybody's eating potatoes, right? But, you know, people who were used to not getting by on very much and how it affected them and, you know, and houses were small and they didn't own a lot of stuff. And, you know, people have all these cute sayings like, what was it? Dust isn't chametz,
mm-hmm.
Husbands aren't Korban Pesach,
mm-hmm.
And a wife isn't a Korban Tamid, you know, like these things. And we have to internalize them, I think, during this time, that we have to be careful of frumkeits,
mm-hmm.
and that we're excited about getting rid of the chametz, getting rid of the extra stuff. The whole concept of the chametz is the extra stuff we don't need, right? It inflates the bread. It's like, it's just all fluff. So it doesn't mean you have to throw things out, although people do, like, I can't get this chair clean, I'm just burning it. You know, people do that on Pesach. You don't have to do that. But rather to realize as you're cleaning the chair that, like, what does this chair really mean to me? What's my relationship to this kitchen? What's my relationship to this house? You know, these are all my tools for Avodas Hashem, and they shouldn't burden me, and I should never be overwhelmed by these things. You know, I think it's part of the Avoda.
Do you know if anybody in has written a, like, a tefillah? That this like well, I'm serious. We say the Hiratzel for things before we do it, or Hineni Muhan Muzman, or whatever, right? Like, I have intention.
What? Let me get to any of the students. But there's really good, like, Yiddish ones that are translated.
Sure.
No, like, all of mine. I don't know. I have like there's the standard mikvah ones, for example, and then I have a book that I was given that has like a million more that got translated into English. So if you can find, there was,
yeah,
like,
I think that would be
for a few,
yeah,
I think, centuries.
Clean, you're saying,
yes, because I have, because otherwise you're just cleaning, right? So you have to
make it your own.
Even if you have the general idea, okay. I don't get all bogged down in it. I am not a person at all who says I am overwhelmed by Pesach or I hate Pesach, and I've heard plenty of people say that. I am not that person. But I don't mind, okay? But I am saying it would be different, though, if when you started, this is my few hours today, or this is the thing where I'm going shopping now, or whatever, that you actually have the intention when you're doing it though, to remind yourself. Because having the intention makes all the difference, I think, when you're about to do something, right?
Sure.
But you have to have the intention. This is why, remind yourself, this is why I'm doing it, this is what I want to get out of doing it. Interesting idea.
Yeah.
I never thought of it before.
I mean, look, it's definitely something that, right?
Yeah.